Well, hello out there once again in Radio Land. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And we wish you a happy holiday season. I certainly hope Santa was good to you. Wishing our friends happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, and a fabulous Festivus, if you're a Seinfeld person like myself. Kind of encompasses all the holidays, and let's hope 2023 is a great one here at the station, and a great one for you, our valued listeners. We are having our regular microphone mate, almost like a partner in crime sometimes, brother in broadcasting, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, joining me here on the air. So, first of all, Ron, has Christmas Kwanzaa kiss been good to you so far?
Yes, it has. I must say, we have the coldest weather in, I think, years here. It's down to the low 40s, and I've been having a lot of body aches. I'm not used to having such cold weather.
Well, it's okay. It got down to about minus 6 or so. In Marion County,
minus
we had a
six?
Yep, level 3 snow emergency, meaning you're supposed to not drive unless it's an emergency for a bit, and cold and windy, but, you know, I'm an old northern boy.
Is that the room temperature, or is that the wind chill?
That's the real temperature, minus 6. The winds were as high as 40 miles per hour, so the wind
minus
chill was
six.
Quite low.
I don't remember in New York ever having minus 6. I think the lowest might have been like 2 or 3 or 4 degrees.
When I lived in northern New York, it was as low as 30 or 40 below at times, but it's not normally this windy when it is. So,
upstate New York where you were is different, but in New York City, I don't think it ever hit anything like what you're saying.
All the ground clutter and being surrounded by water, you know, New York never gets super cold, but they had single-digit temperatures also just to keep things interesting. That's how we like it, you know? Midwest?
Yeah, Washington, D.C. had 9 degrees on Saturday, I heard. Yeah.
Midwest has changeable weather, and I enjoy that because you also appreciate spring better. And, of course, spring's also my birthday, and I have a milestone birthday coming up in 2024, so not really any hurry for that. Or maybe I am
We got a year and a half to go.
just to spice things up a little bit. So, I've seen parts of Florida, temperatures below freezing, but it's going to warm up a bit, and that's okay, you know, with Midwest. If you don't like the weather, stick around. It'll change. You might even see 3 or 4 seasons in 1 week.
I wanted to mention, I realize you're going to have a round number, birth for his age in 24, and so am I.
Well, isn't that fascinating?
No, it's just something I realized. I wish I was your age, though, not my age, but you can't choose what your age is.
That every day you wake up is a blessing, as far as I'm concerned. And
yes.
Always appreciated, and the world always throws you a curve or two. Now, Ron has been on with me many times. He was on with Glenn prior to Glenn's kind of semi-retirement. He's on with Scott, the interviewer to the stars, from time to time. And sometimes he writes for History News Network, other places, and he does have a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, which he writes just about every day, maybe once every 10 years. He takes a day off, but he has been writing the blog. It is a, as it says on the masthead, educated view from the left. Ron is a PhD in presidentology, as I call it. He's one of the world's biggest scholars on presidents in U.S. history and politics in general. And some of his blogs lean heavily left. It's obvious where he stands politically. He's not extreme left. I mean, like AOC, for example. He's more of a old school type left. But sometimes, it seems like he goes a little further to the left. And we'll discuss that a little bit today. And some just discuss history, really, with no political slant at all. Because, we're all Americans. We should all be on the same side, but it kind of seems like we're not. Everything's gotten so divisive. Yeah, with me,
sadly,
I say, I'm an independent. I really don't like any of them. So somebody says, well, you don't like Biden, so you must be a Trumper. I never said I was a Trumper. I don't like either of them. I don't. But you have to pick which one nauseates you the least when you go to the voting booth. There are a few politicians I like. I still like Hillary. I understand many of the things she said of late are not consistent with my beliefs, but she has to kind of follow her party. And that's understandable. But the Hillary that ran against Donald Trump certainly had many philosophies consistent with mine. And, as Americans, we value our freedom of speech. So we talk about things, and, where I come from, Ron, mature adults can still shake hands and be friends even if they don't agree, as long as they aren't too crazy.
That's correct. Yeah.
So anyway, as you listeners probably know, I'm a bit obsessed with countdowns. When I grew up, I listened to Casey Kasem count down the top 40 pop songs from Billboard every week. I often participate at Scott's show when he does Family Feud, you know, name 8 Christmas songs, whatever the topic may be. So kind of into countdowns. That's one of my thing. And real happy to see that Ron did 2 countdowns over the last several days. Of course, they're politically related, you know, not about movies or music or his favorite songs or about, you know, states with the best weather. I mean, nothing really boring like that. He dove into it and counted down the top political heroes and the top political villains of 2022. Now, that does get kind of fascinating when Ron, you know, leans fairly to the left. But again, I wouldn't call him extreme left. I think if we asked AOC for a countdown of this type, it would have some items in common and some items not in common. But again, under political heroes, you certainly are more likely to see Kamala Harris or Joe Biden than you are Donald Trump or Kevin McCarthy. In fact, you might find Donald Trump and Kevin McCarthy on the bad list. So what we're going to do, Ron, is we're going to, you know, I've already given you a new name. If you've seen Ron, you know he has that Mr. Cotter kind of hair going on. So I've called him the curly-haired Casey Kasem. That's going to be his name for today. And we're going to...
Well, at least they still have hair. Yeah,
that's definitely at any age, that's always a good thing. But, and yeah, you look at the older pictures of Ron, he looks just like Mr. Cotter. And being a teacher, I'm not sure he and Mr. Cotter may be the same person. So that would be his... Because, you know, I like alliteration also. So that will be his name for today, the curly-coiffed Casey Kasem. Counting down greatest political heroes and greatest political villains of 2022. These were published in his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. You're right, Ron, the year 2022 has been a very tumultuous year politically, but there are great political heroes that should be noted, applauded, and given recognition. The following top individuals are the greatest political heroes of 2022 in no particular order. Let's start with my favorite on the list, and of course, that's Adam Kinzinger. Like his name?
Yes, I really like Adam Kinzinger a lot. I hope he ends up announcing. I don't think he's going to be president, but I think he'd be a great person to run for the Republican nomination or as an independent. He's young. He's only about 43. He's had military experience, 10 years in Congress. He lost his seat because of reapportionment, losing a seat in Illinois, so he was wiped out because there's fewer seats. But he's a man of principle. His own family is very divisive around him. Half of them have repudiated him. But he's really someone to admire. And, of course, from the viewpoint of looks and telegenic appearance, it certainly helps. He is very much like a Republican Kennedy in his appearance, I would say.
Okay. And the other Adam, of course, Adam Schiff, must be a common name for political heroes. I didn't see my name on this list. Maybe I'd be under Radio Heroes. But tell us about Adam Schiff of California.
Well, Adam Schiff has, of course, been around for, I guess, about 20 years. He's a very interesting guy and, of course, has been attacked by Trump, who called him Adam S-C-H-I-T-T. I consider that a badge of honor that that's what Trump called him because he calls everybody names. But Schiff is a very principled guy, and he might be a candidate for the Senate seat, in California when indeed the oldest member of the Senate, Dianne Feinstein, leaves in 2 years. If she makes it through 2 more years, she's 89 and doesn't seem to know what's going on anymore. She really should resign and then can be appointed. Someone will be appointed, but there'll be a Senate race of somebody in 2024, and I think he's one of the best choices.
Yeah, we'll find out, but maybe somebody sharing my name will finally be in high political office. We've had a President Adams and two presidents Adams. Yeah, they're related. Father and son or grandfather and son or something like that.
Father and son.
Yeah, they were related in some fashion. But maybe it's time for a president with the first name Adam. And, you know, Ron, I've been known to vote for candidates because I like their name. Interesting, there was a gentleman named Adam Miller who ran for some office here in the county. And I didn't know much about him, but I liked his name, so I voted for him. But interestingly, I'd met him a couple years later at just some meeting I went to with some organization I was doing work for. And I was very impressed with him. And I told him, you know, nice name, I voted for you. And I talked to him and said, well, I'm glad I voted for him because he didn't win, but he seems like a good man. So...
I can't say the same about my name. I'm not a fan of Ron Ron Johnson, a senator from Wisconsin, who's on my list. I'm not a fan, of course, of Ron DeSantis, who's also on my list. And I like that as a person, but did not vote for Ronald Reagan years ago.
Yeah, Reagan, the best sense of humor of any president. I think everybody agrees with that.
And great personality, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
which I don't think that either Johnson or DeSantis have a good personality. You know, I think they're horrible personalities in different ways, not the same. But neither of them is charming like Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I mean, DeSantis with his two Ivy League degrees. I mean, he's a very smart man, very very crafty. You know, whether you like that or not is a different matter. But I would think if he and Donald Trump were to take an IQ test, I would expect DeSantis would probably score quite a bit higher than,
yes,
than Donald
which
would.
Makes him, I think, scary, because yeah. I think Trump was horrible, and I think, in my mind, DeSantis would be a horror if he was in the White House. But I don't think he's going to be. As I wrote in my History News Network article, no one who's been seen as the front runner, in quotes, 2 years before an election for the last 110 years has been elected. So he might be the nominee, but if you go by history, of course it could be changed, he will not be the next president.
Yeah, Hillary being an example.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, I think everybody, myself included, thought there's our first female president, and it was a close election, and she won the popular vote, but did not become the president of the United States of America, as we know. Also on the list, we have Liz Cheney of the very huge state of Wyoming. Now, that's Dick Cheney's daughter, right?
Yeah, I'm not a Dick Cheney fan, although Cheney was smart. I just thought he was very horrible and evil in a different way than Trump. But his daughter has really been a heroine, and I think she and Kinzinger are both profiles in courage for speaking up and fighting their party. And in the case of Cheney losing her seat, in the case of Kinzinger, he couldn't keep his seat because of a loss of his seat. But she actually lost, and that's really a disgrace for Wyoming that she lost her nomination for another
Wyoming,
term.
I believe, our least populous state. So the interesting thing there is the representative or congressperson is actually more powerful than the senator because there's one representative and two senators, which
that's
is
true.
Kind of fascinating.
But only one seat out of 435, while the two Wyoming senators have 2 out of 100, so the percentage is high.
Yeah, the whole concept of the electoral votes and apportionment of congressional seats. Ohio, I think, down to 16 Congress people, but it seems like...
Yeah, the Rust Belt keeps on losing every decade, and the Sun Belt keeps on gaining, Texas and Florida particularly, and Arizona,
as Ohio goes, that's how the country goes, and it's a good idea to win Ohio to win the presidency. That didn't apply in 2020, but normally it does. Either way, Ohio, just because of its diversity, the apportionment of different types of people, and just the location, you know, kind of... gateway to the south, at least in southern Ohio, gateway to the northeast in eastern Ohio, and, you know, close to Chicago and other places that people always have an eye on. It definitely is an influential state.
Oh, and, absolutely it is. And we've had, of course, six Ohio presidents, all between 1869 and 1923, all Republicans, yes.
And just that, although this is common in many areas, the smaller cities, Marion being a great example, lean heavily Republican, whereas Cleveland and Columbus, at least the city part of Columbus, lean heavily to the left. Cincinnati also, the suburbs, very Republican, and many parts of the city itself, rather to the left. In fact, Jerry Springer and another rather liberal person, Roxanne Qualls, were mayors of Cincinnati, although it was before Cincinnati had the strong mayor system they have now. So this is the diversity.
And also Dayton and Youngstown are two other cities that are mostly Democratic.
Diversity of of Ohio makes it a good cross-section for the United States. And I guess that's one of the fun parts of living here, besides the fact that the weather can change at the snap of a finger. So just keep shining your toes.
I wanted to mention one of the trends that's affecting the Midwest, maybe not Ohio right now because J.D. Vance was elected, but the fact is that the suburbs are becoming much more racially integrated, so it's not as much white. There's a minority, particularly Black and Hispanic, and so therefore the prediction is that the suburbs are becoming, as a general rule, more blue rather than red over time. But of course, we'll have to see if that continues. But that certainly seems to be the trend, that if the suburbs are going Democratic, the Democratic Party has a much better future because already have the cities.
Yeah, and your son David would know about this, Ron. My understanding was that one time Washington, D.C. was like 80% or higher Black, and now a lot of white people are moving into the inner city area. It's becoming trendy.
Yeah, I think it's about 60% Black now. It's gone down.
It's changed a lot.
He lives in Northeast D.C. He bought a condo, and it's a new building, but it's a regentrified area that he lives in Northeast D.C., you know. So it's a mixed community, but it's more, it's not more white, but it's heavier white than it was, about 40%.
Yeah, I just found that kind of fascinating. And D.C. has traditionally been very to the left. For example, presidents that have presidential candidates who have lost resoundingly, McGovern being an example. I think McGovern won Massachusetts and D.C. only.
And Mondale also.
Yeah, Minnesota, Mondale, his home state, and D.C.
Mondale won Minnesota and D.C., the two worst defeats ever. But that's a long time ago. And now if the suburbs are, you know, because of anti-Trump attitudes, which is what it is, if they're going Democratic, it could be a long-term trend. We don't know, but it could be. Right now it does look like the suburbs are less red than they have been overall. Maybe not necessarily in Ohio, but in Michigan. Michigan just went to be the most blue state in 40 years as far as the state legislature. And it's also true in other states in the Midwest that, you know, in many of the states, not all, not Indiana particularly or Iowa, but in others, it is becoming more possibly blue, you know, and the rest of the country, like Colorado and other areas as well.
Yeah, when you thought you got it figured out, Michigan having a very liberal governor, Colorado having a gay governor, not a super liberal, as gays tend to be to the left, but
and
not
Jewish,
necessarily.
We have a number of Jewish governors now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that can have an influence on it. Also, we have a Republican governor here in Ohio, but I feel he's moderated quite a bit. But certainly Ohio is thought of as being more to the right. But of course, it depends upon what part of Ohio you might be in. And just when you thought you got it figured out or you could predict the election, it goes the other way, doesn't it? So just
yes.
keep things fascinating. Talking with Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, our official pro-residentologist here on WWGH Radio for the Adam Lip mid-morning or early afternoon coffee break radio extravaganza on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Appreciate you being with us. Again, be sure to read Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, every day like I do. It's quick reading, and if you don't agree with it, just throw your phone out the window if you are really upset, or you can always email him on or message him on social media, or if you agree with it, well, feel free to kiss your phone and send a token of appreciation. Ron yeah. counted down the top 10 villains and the top 10 political heroes of 2022 on recent blog entries. I think the villains part is more fun, and probably can predict whom he listed as the number one villain. I mean, I made that prediction when I saw the headline, and I was right, but again, it really wasn't a very hard question. But in terms of the 10...
Well, let's finish the heroes first.
Not as familiar with Jamie Raskin. Honestly, I'm not even sure if that's a boy or a girl of Maryland.
It's a man. Jamie Raskin, who actually was my son's congressional member when he lived in Bethesda, Maryland, right outside the district. Now he moved to D.C. And he's a law professor in the past, and he's a leading figure on the Judiciary Committee. He was involved in the impeachment trials, and he's such an inspirational guy. He's one of the people I like the most in Congress on a personal level. I mean, I like Adam Schiff, but I think Jamie Raskin's more warm. I mean, if you're going to make a comparison as far as personality, he's really exceptional. But unfortunately, his son committed suicide right before the January 6th insurrection, one of the many people who commit suicide. They have depression, and nobody knows it. And he was a Harvard Law student. It's so tragic, but he came back, and a few days later, the insurrection took place. He was there with his daughter and was worried about it, but then he got involved in the whole pursuit on the January 6th committee, and he's such a courageous guy.
Now, the above four people, Ron, Cheney, Kinzinger, Raskin, and Schiff, were key figures in the January 6th commission investigating the U.S. Capitol insurrection.
Yes.
So let's get to six more people, and these people were all fairly familiar. Let's start with the chief of staff. It's pronounced Klein, not Klein, right?
Klein, yes.
Yeah, because the German would be Klein, but it's spelled AI,
yeah.
But that's still I in German. But
well, Klein also the EIN is also yeah. Jewish, and Ron Klein is Jewish. By the way, Biden has more Jews in his cabinet and people advising him than any other president's had. That's one of the things most people don't realize. And yet we have a third of Jews, the Orthodox, who are so supportive of Trump and condemn Biden. And it's just unbelievable what's going on in Israel. Forget about here with the crazy government they're getting now under Benjamin Netanyahu. We could do that another time.
So one of your heroes, Ron, Chief of Staff Ron Klein, the best modern Chief of Staff, helping President Joe Biden in accomplishment of his agenda. You wrote a blog entry on him also earlier in the month. I don't know much about him. Tell us about Well, there's a Ron who shares your first name that you like, because again, a lot of the Rons, yeah, DeSantis, Reagan, you don't really like, but yeah, this one you do. Tell us about this gentleman who shares your first name.
Well, he has been very close to Joe Biden for years. He was, I think he was his chief of staff or something like that as vice president, you know, under Obama. And he goes back a long way, and he's very organized, very disciplined, and he stands out, as I've said, as one of the best chiefs of staff since the position was created after 1945. I think he's right up there. I say with Ken O'Donnell under Kennedy, James Baker under the first Bush, Leon Panetta under Obama, Andrew Card under George W. Bush, who I thought was quite good, and Dennis McDonough also under Obama. I really think these people were very, very significant, and I think he's one of the best. And he's the kind of person you don't hear much about. He's not looking for publicity, but he's really exceptional, and I think has a lot to do with the successes Joe Biden has had, particularly in the second year when everything has started to come together and he got a lot accomplished.
About how old is he and where is he from?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
About how old is he and where is he from?
I believe, I have to look it up, I think he's in his 50s. I'll look it up while I'm talking to you. I know, you know, he's not an old guy. He's a lot younger than our 80-year-old president. I'm going to look it up right now. He is 61. He's 61 years of age, yeah.
About the same age as Mike Pence then, so a good age.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, where's he from?
He was born in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's funny.
So very similar to Mike Pence, about the same age and same city.
Ronald Allen Klain is his name, yeah. His full name, yeah.
Isn't that fascinating?
Okay. I even know where he was born. It's that one's funny. Yeah.
So
he's
also
in Indiana, who's not a Republican.
We have Fancy Nancy Pelosi of California,
yes,
and you write the greatest Speaker of the House in the modern era. Now, why do you feel, we touched on this earlier, why do you feel she's the greatest Speaker ever?
Well, she's one of the three best in the last 100 years, along with Sam Rayburn from the 40s through the 50s, and also Thomas Tip O'Neill from 77 to 87. Those are the other two great ones. But she accomplished a lot. She got Obamacare through in the first round under Obama when she was Speaker for 4 years. And she was able to get a lot done, with a difficult Congress in the last 2 years, when it was the 50-50 Senate and only a 5-seat edge in the House. She really knows how to get her votes together. She knows how to get things done. Now, some people don't like her because she's a strong-minded woman, but she's actually a model, of what women should be in the modern era. Be strong and assertive. There's no reason not to be. And yet she's not an extremist. She works against the extreme left in her own party. She told Biden, don't go in that direction. Don't go too far left. And he listens, because that's not going to get you to victory. So she manages to keep everybody balanced in her party. And I tell you right now, Kevin McCarthy is not going to be able to do that with the same margin that she had, 222 to 213, switched around. He's going to be having a nightmare if he gets there, but I don't think he is going to be the next Speaker anyway.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, who was a skilled leader dealing with the concept of an evenly divided Senate and accomplishing great progress and reforms. So why are you so high there?
This is also including dealing with Sinema, who now is an independent, Kyrsten Sinema, and Joe Manchin, and keeping them united enough to get enough done. Not as much as desired, but a lot. So he's quite an outstanding leader, Schumer. And he's also Jewish.
And we have the gentleman who could have been Supreme Court Justice from Obama, but didn't get that nomination. But now he's Attorney General, Merrick Garland. Demonstrated great and measured leadership of the Justice Department in the aftermath of the attack. I guess this kind of comes up, Ron. Do you think he would prefer to have been on the Supreme Court, or does he mind waiting and becoming Attorney General? Which position do you think is more important, more prestigious?
Well, I think being Attorney General will be more important, because I expect further criminal action against Trump and Giuliani and others, but actually less stressful a job would be on the Supreme Court. You know, it certainly would be less stressful. But I want to point out, he was nominated. He was just not given a hearing. You know, he was nominated by Obama, but Mitch McConnell would not give him a hearing.
Yeah, I mean, both good jobs.
He's also Jewish. I mean, I just want to point out, a lot of Jewish people don't realize they're Jewish, or maybe non-Jews don't realize a lot of them around Joe Biden.
Yeah, so just...
And Obama also, because Obama appointed him to the court, but he couldn't get on.
Yeah, and Garland, I mean, I'm not saying I agree with everything about him, but he has a great resume. I mean, he's a smart man.
Oh, absolutely.
So, You kind of like that, but you know, I've said the same thing about DeSantis. May not like him, but certainly his resume, his Ivy League education, I mean, his rather quick ascension. He's still in his 40s. That certainly shows that he's popular.
He's like a Republican Kennedy if he could just be more moderate, but I think he's not. If DeSantis had been more moderate census, I think he'd be a better
president. Yeah, I mean, if he's president, which I think he will be, maybe not even this time, but eventually, he will moderate. People tend to do that.
I hope. You
know, we shall see. Yeah, yeah. We don't question him. He is well-spoken, I mean, well-educated, so we like that, but the issues, that's a different matter, and we'll get to that on the list of 10 villains because he might be there. And we have two people that I definitely don't agree with you on, so I'll just keep my mouth shut while you talk. We have President Joe Biden, a much underrated president who has accomplished more in the first 2 years in office than any president since Lyndon B. Johnson.
Which is reality, whether you like it or not.
You think
that's
he accomplished more than Clinton, all the economy stuff that went well during
Clinton didn't accomplish much at all, remember? He didn't even get his Hillary cast through in 93, 94, something after 2 years. He didn't accomplish much at all, and then he lost the House and Senate massively, and here Biden lost the House barely, but gained in the Senate and gained in governorships. So you have to look after 2 years, and really, I can't predict the future, but he's had a great, the first year wasn't, but the second year, everything came together, and it's worked out very well.
Okay, well, I guess we'll find out in the voting booth in a couple of years.
Well, but this time the Democrats did very well. First time really since 2002 after 9/11, and before that 1934. Of course, FDR was massive gain. So it is historic. It was just talked about this morning on Sunday on Meet the Press about that.
And we have Dr. Anthony Fauci, chief medical advisor to President Joe Biden,
who just retired. He retired on his, you know, he's 82, day before Christmas, and he has been advisor since Reagan's time, and certainly is not perfect. None of these people are perfect, but he's still regarded as a great figure who had a dramatic effect on the health of the United States over the last four decades. And again, Republicans, you know, I think it was George W. Bush gave him the Medal of Honor, whatever, you know, Presidential Medal of Honor. So, I mean, he has been well received, but of course, he's not liked by Trump. And he's that who he tried to have influence on, and of course has been ridiculed by a person who has no medical training, meaning the governor of Florida, and is setting up his own Centers for Disease Control, which is insane, and is undermining Florida's health. It's a big mistake.
Now, who's taking his place if he's retired?
I'm not sure if that's been decided yet. I don't know. I'd have to check. I don't know. I don't know, but he is retiring at least by the end of the year. Maybe not on his birthday, but the 31st, or, you know, before the new Congress. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. So, and he was important, you know, in promoting the significance of science over religion, mythology, and fake science, because religion's had too much of an impact on science. It's not supposed to. They're totally separate fields, as I see it.
Talking with Dr. Ron Feinman here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, and his recent blog entries under the ProgressiveProfessor.com. Now let's get to the fun list. That was a fun list, but not quite as fun as this one. The top 10 greatest political villains of 2022 and an addendum, just to keep things fun. Again, Ron today is denoted as the curly-coiffed Casey Kasem as we count down the top 10. Like that name, don't you? I thought it was.
That's funny.
I thought it was cute. Okay.
So I'm a presidentologist, and I'm also the curly-haired Casey Kasem.
Yes, curly coiffed.
I like the presidentologist better. I've even told the students in class about that; they laugh.
Well, it's good to have a little bit of humor. It's the best medicine, yeah. You know. So, in no special order, here are the top 10 villains. But I think the one we'll save for last, and his first name rhymes with your first name. And he's probably number one. So let's get to get to Kevin McCarthy of California. So what's the issue with Kevin? Why don't you like him?
Well, as I said, he has no spine. He's been a supplicant to Donald Trump after condemning him for January 6th, and he has no principle of ethics. He just wants to be speaker no matter what. And that makes me scared because that's two heartbeats away from the presidency. And honestly, maybe right or wrong, I don't trust the man being near the president and vice president, because in his mind or in the mind of people like Trump, wouldn't it be great, in quotes, if something happened to the president and vice president and he became president, which he could be, just like Pelosi could have been. So I'm scared of the guy. I really am. But I don't think he's going to be the next speaker.
In contrast to DeSantis, is McCarthy well-educated and, you know, would score high in a high IQ test, or is that an
not
issue, too?
Not Ivy League educated. I can look it up. I don't know it off the top. Not Ivy League, but he is famous, which he doesn't want us to remember, that in 2016, there was a discussion among Republican House members, including Paul Ryan, who was the Speaker, and in the midst of that, and was heard, he was saying something about, McCarthy was saying about Trump being connected to the Russians, having connected to the Russians, and Ryan said, shh, be quiet. And that's still something that reverberates. And I think McCarthy knows a lot of things that he's not telling us, and he refused to be heard as a witness by the January 6th committee. They're talking about possibly moving into a legal action. He should not be Speaker of the House. And he failed to be after Ryan, or after Boehner, I should say. He was passed by for Ryan. But he's got this crazed need to be Speaker, and yet he's gonna cave into Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and these other extremists, including Jim Jordan. And that worries me. But I don't think he's going to be the Speaker. I predict it's going to be Steve Scalise, the second-ranking Republican from Louisiana. I think he'll, not that he's that much better, but I don't think he's quite as controversial as McCarthy is. So I predict Steve Scalise will be
made Speaker. Let's just say, without mentioning any numbers, Kevin is virtually the same age that I am, which is kind of fascinating.
California State University, Bakersfield.
Bakersfield.
State College, State University of California.
His father was an assistant fire chief. He is Irish and Italian.
Yes, and he's another McCarthy that's become famous and infamous, along with Joseph McCarthy of the Red Scare, and then the Democrat Eugene McCarthy in the time of the Vietnam War opposing LBJ in 1968. He's the only one I really like of those three, Eugene McCarthy. You can figure why.
So we have Josh Hawley also. This is on your list of the 10 greatest political villains of 2022. From Missouri, who promoted sedition and treason. He faces re-election in 24 and should be soundly defeated.
So, and he has that photograph of him with his clenched fist on January 6th before the actual attack. So to me, the man should not even be in office. He should be removed because he's involved in sedition and treason.
Also have a former presidential candidate, Ted Cruz of Texas. Now, in 2016, you said he was the most dangerous Republican running for president, even more than Donnie Baby faces re-election.
I thought at the time he was. Yeah, I think he's a horrible human being. And it's been said by Lindsey Graham, who's also on this list. He once made a joke that if something happened to Ted Cruz in the Senate, nobody would be upset. That he's not liked by other senators. I thought that was funny. And Ted Cruz didn't care. And, of course, Ted Cruz, his wife was attacked as not good-looking when she is, and his father involved with the Kennedy assassination. And then after that, the two Cruises go to the White House for a dinner with the Trumps. Figure that out. Makes no sense.
Definitely makes things a bit interesting and unusual. And just when
and
you
Lindsey Graham, oh, my God.
You got to figure it out.
Nightmarish.
He was a curve.
A little bit less bad with when he was with John McCain, but since McCain, he's gone off the deep end. He really has.
So Lindsey Graham, also on your list of the 10 best political villains or biggest political villains or worst political villains, depending upon how you look at it, of 2022 from South Carolina. Now we have another gentleman who shares your first name, and I don't know much about this guy, but if he were to be president, he would be the third President Johnson. Republican Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. That sounds kind of cold today. Very unstable and unprincipled excuse for a human being. That doesn't sound too good. So what's up with this other gentleman who shares your first name?
Well, it's just a man that says crazy things. He comes across as a lunatic. And, of course, he defeated one of my favorite senators in my lifetime, Russ Feingold, who was there in the Senate of Wisconsin from 93 to 2011, lost his seat, ran again against him in 2016, and lost again. And now this young African-American lieutenant governor, Mandela Barnes, who was only 35, was really appealing, but he still, Johnson defeated him. But I think he's one of the absolute worst figures we've ever seen in the Senate. And he rivals Joseph McCarthy as a villainous figure in Wisconsin history.
So, not a fan. You just like his name.
No.
Okay, then let's go very close to home. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan, an obnoxious and unprincipled man who sadly is likely to become House Judiciary Committee Chairman in the 2018th Congress in 2023. Now, we've talked about Jim being rather rude to Scott when they've spoken on the phone. And, you know, there are certainly things that Jordan has said that I agree with, and some things he said where I think he's a nut job. Really, it's not appealing from a personality standpoint. Charisma's
there
off.
There is even a theory that he could become speaker.
Yeah, just an objectionable person. As I said, there are people we like as men. Reagan, an example. I mean, who doesn't like Reagan? Didn't like his sense of humor. I mean, at leadership. Don't have to like his policies, and I didn't like many of them, but he's a funny guy, great charisma, loved America for sure. Jordan, I don't see that in him at all. I mean, regardless of policy, he's just an objectionable guy, and I'm sorry to my listeners who may support him. He really rubs me the wrong way, and that goes even beyond his conduct when speaking with Scott on the phone. So, Jordan's...
There's also that Ohio State wrestling incident that he has not explained.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder, you know.
Jordan also a little younger than I am, I believe, so fairly young on a relative basis. Do you see a future, Ron? Maybe our next president from Ohio with Jordan? Maybe a speaker later? What do you think is in his future as he's, you know, got probably 20 years left in a political career?
Well, I mean, he could run, you know, I guess for the Senate Brown, you know, the Democrat, in 2024. But I don't think he will because in fact, he's going to be the head of the Judiciary Committee. He probably is going to stay in the House. I don't know if he could win statewide. Do you think he could? I don't think so.
I don't think he has the charisma. I mean, he and Brown are very different politically. I'm not sure it would happen. Have Jordan and Vance together. That very much to the right. It just doesn't seem like it would happen with the diversity in this
Feel bad that Tim Ryan lost that seat to J.D. Vance. I really like Tim Ryan. I think he's someone to look to for the future. He ran for president as one of the many in 2020, but I always liked the guy. I think he ran a very good race, but that was a rare case along with North Carolina. Ted Budd defeated Jerry Beasley for the open seat there. They're the only Trump-supported people for the Senate that won. All the others lost.
Let's put our cowboy hats on and go to Texas. Greg Abbott, the governor, third term as governor, won in 2022, despite his horrendous policies and lack of compassion, and he would like to be president. Interestingly, he uses a wheelchair, and he would be very different politically.
Yes, and he doesn't show any compassion for anybody.
He'd be very different.
He's not FDR.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He'd be very different politically from our other president who was a wheelchair user. That would be kind of interesting. So why don't you like Mr. Abbott, Ron?
Because he's sending undocumented immigrants all over the country. And his whole thing with the way he deals with the issue of gerrymandered districts, just like with DeSantis in Florida, and Texas has a horrible image. It's the second worst state historically as far as lynchings of people, of blacks. Only, I think, Mississippi is worse. It's just a state that is very embarrassing how much bigotry there is in the state government, and they keep on winning.
What's he supposed to do about the illegal immigrants?
What's
the solution to that?
Well, the solution is to come up with a plan for these people. If they're not criminals and they're being investigated, that we need immigrants in this country. We need immigrants. We're running short of workers and labor, and this country's history is one of immigration, and we should not be pushing people away who are trying to escape persecution, religious persecution and crime and bloodshed and all that, which is going on in Latin America, in Central America. It's going on. But it's something the government has to do, but the Republicans refuse to have any immigration reform. There needs to be a reform bill, but it hasn't been done for decades. George W. Bush wanted it. It didn't happen. John McCain wanted it. Other Republicans like that did, but the Kevin McCarthy group and the Jim Jordan group and the Mitch McConnell group don't want to do that.
Adam here talking with Dr. Ron Fineman, discussing his 10 greatest political villains of 2022. We previously talked about the 10 greatest political heroes. Just a few minutes left, and as my mama said, time flies when you have fun. So let's save the two most interesting and most fun ones for last, and let's skip to watch the cactus, watch the rattlesnakes. Let's go to Arizona. Republican gubernatorial nominee Carrie Lake. Carrie's a girl, right? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I wasn't sure with...
She's very attractive looking, but she's a miserable, horrible person, as we've learned. I didn't even know about her 6 months ago. But she was a news presenter in Phoenix, Arizona, and liked, and she went off the deep end, and she's crazy and dangerous with her big lie idea, and she just lost on that.
Okay, so good riddance, I guess, would be your reaction. So with a few minutes left, let's get to the fun part. We have the candidate, or the, well, it could be a presidential candidate, but he's the governor in your fair state of Florida. Shares your first name and of Italian descent, and of course that's Mr. Ron DeSantis, who won a vast re-election victory in 2022. Regardless of what he claims, he looks like the presidential front runner from the Republicans for 2024. Include his things you don't like about him: COVID-19 pandemic, gay and transgender rights, racial and religious minorities, interference in the teaching of history and literature, gerrymandering, manipulating school boards, took away two African-American seats as a byproduct of the gerrymandering, etc. So, again, we discussed Ron. We agree he's very smart and well-spoken, presents himself well, has two Ivy League degrees. I mean, he would score very well on an IQ test, and that's good. I certainly would beat Donald and probably just about all of our recent presidents, except possibly Clinton and Obama. I'd like to actually see an IQ comparison of those three. They'd all be very high. Carter also. But the policies are the issue. What do you think is the most objectionable thing about Ron DeSantis?
Well, it's hard to say, but certainly as a person who's a college professor and people who teach high school and middle school social studies, he's setting an agenda that you can't talk in detail about slavery or what happened to Native Americans or other things. He's whitewashing history, and that's going on in Texas as well and in some other states. And it's forcing many teachers to resign. And even my son has said to me, if I'm ever told, and I have not yet, that I cannot teach the true story about presidents, good and bad, well, I've taught for 51 years. If I have to quit, I'll quit. Hopefully that won't happen, but I am not going to be told what to teach in a classroom. And also with the sexuality issue, there are gay and transgender kids in school, and they often can't talk to people at home, and they want to confide in their teachers, and they can't do it under the changes in the state laws. And it's to me, that's just crazy. It's actually, I think it's criminal. So that, I think, bothers me more. But all these other issues, too. He has his own Centers for Disease Control he's setting up because he doesn't believe in the national CDC. And yet Florida, I think, has more deaths. Of course, they're more older people, but has more deaths from COVID than any other state. And he's just been very reckless about masks, not so much now, but in the past when kids were going to school and the whole idea that they were fining school boards who were requiring masks and things. And to me, it's not something that the government should be getting involved in. The school board should decide within their own districts and not be dictated. It's the same with library boards and saying ban books that talk about gay or black or other things. That's ridiculous, as I see it. It infuriates me.
Of course, we are now down to the last person on your biggest villains of 2022 politically list. And of course, we all know who this person is, a certain former president who likes to golf, has an attractive wife of Eastern European ancestry, and his last name is also something you want to do when you play cards. But we're not playing cards, we're talking politics. So tell us about Donnie Baby Ron. We got about 2 minutes left. Tell us why he is on that list of 10 villains.
Supreme Court. I'll just mention, for instance, the Supreme Court with Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito with the abortion decision, the Dobbs case is horrendous, and they're the worst Supreme Court justices in modern times. But Trump is the most dangerous, I think, and close to worst, if not worst, U.S. president, twice impeached, close ally of people, totalitarian dictators around the world, Russia, China, North Korea, not Iran, no, not that, but the other countries. And he should be brought up to charge. Now, conviction he cannot guarantee, but it seems to me he has to be indicted, along with Giuliani and other people, because he helped to cause the worst attack on the U.S. Capitol in 200 years. And he's divided the country and promoted anti-Semitism without wanting to, maybe, but he has anti-Semites coming to dinner at his home, and he's certainly promoted misogyny and racism and nativism. And to me, the man is it's just a horror, and the thought of him coming back cannot be allowed. At least the Electoral Count Act passed, where the vice president cannot change results even if they wanted to. The law has been changed, the Electoral Count Act. So the situation of the president saying to the vice president changed the result, he cannot do it, or she cannot do it. So, but I just think Trump is a horror, and how anybody could vote for him the second time. The first time, anything could happen. But I know people voted for him the second time, and after everything had happened, how could anybody do that? and then people still want to vote for him now. There's a mental illness out there among people who seem to think, oh, everything's fine, let's have him again. I just don't understand the mental state of people. That's all I can say.
And you also mentioned three people I forgot, because Donald Trump was someone we obviously have to cover, being a former president and someone that everybody has an opinion on. Supreme Court Justices Chief John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito also on the list. And my mama said, once again, we've gone over by a few seconds, but that's okay. This show is worth spending some extra time on. Time flies when you have fun. That was a good show, Ron, a countdown.
Yes.
And
yes, thank you so much.
Look forward to more great programming.
In case I don't talk to you for the new year, Happy New Year.
Yep. Looking forward to great programming in 2023 with me and our other hosts and hostesses. Thank you again, Ron. That was a good program. Have a great end of 2022, beginning of 2023, and we shall talk
next year, as I would say.
We shall talk again soon.